朋友们，现在站在我身旁的就是全世界最大的网红 Mr. Beast， 这个显然是假的了，但是这是真的。
你好。
Mr. Beast 野兽先生，他的同名频道是现在 YouTube 上订阅最多的频道，每段视频的平均播放量超过2亿，每段视频的制作成本达到了惊人的400万美元。除了 YouTube 主账号以外，还有游戏、慈善、短视频等等的账号矩阵，在 TikTok 上又超过1亿的粉丝，可以说打造了一个视频帝国。
但你可别觉得他就是个网红，其实他更厉害的地方在于，非常成功的靠着流量、靠着 IP， 撬动了巨大的资本、巨大的现金流，说白了就是变现。2024年，亚马逊又给了他1亿美元，合作了一档超大型游戏真人秀，
庞大的制作规模破了44项吉尼斯世界纪录。商业方面，仅仅光卖巧克力，年营收就破了上亿美元。哎，我跟你说啊，小林这次也是拿到了独家采访 Mr. Beast 的机会。今天咱们就来一起探究一下世界第一网红的秘密。我现在所在的地方呢，就是 Jimmy 成长的小镇，也是他总部的所在地，北卡罗来纳州的 Greenville。 这个地方生活呢，说好听点叫安逸，说难听点就是无聊。我跟你说，我在这待了3天了，怎么说呢，真的是可以帮我专心工作。Mr. Beast 的本名叫 James Stephen Donaldson， 大家一般就管他叫 Jimmy。 他出生在1998年，今年刚刚27岁。你别看他30不到，已经做了16年的视频了。
In 2008, when the real estate market crashed, my parents lost everything, so we had no money. One of my biggest motivations, I just want to make enough money to help my mom, because she like was working two jobs, she had no money. And so I found out when I was really young, one of my favorite YouTubers I was watching talked about how he quit his job to do YouTube full time. 11-year-old, 12-year-old me was like, what?You make money making YouTube videos? Then I started making videos and I fell in love with it.
最开始其实就是个普通的小屁孩，躲在屋里头录那种一边打游戏一边聊天的视频，6-7年都没什么太多水花。后来呢，上了个社区大学，但 Jimmy 完全不想上学。
I was miserable, I hate school. So I would act like I was going to college, but I would just sit in my car and work on videos. I had to basically get it where I was making enough to do YouTube full time.Before my mom found out that I was just getting zeros in every class.
然后我不推荐大家这么干。而他这个庞大的视频帝国呢，都起源于数数。哎，你没听错哈，真的就是数数。2017年 ，Jimmy 发布了一段视频，就是坐在摄像机前数数，从一数到10万。
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
你看清楚这段视频的长度哈，是24个小时，但是经过加速处理，他本来录了40个小时。
What am I doing with my life?
你说他要是就数到100或者数到1000，大家可能会觉得这个人怎么这么无聊。但是他要是数到10万，那就变成一个行为艺术了。这段视频也是瞬间爆火，几天里就到了数万次播放。尝到甜头的 Jimmy 就开始各种各样奇怪的挑战和尝试，比如说读最长的单词，用微波炉加热微波炉，连续看同一段 MV 看10个小时等等。这些看起来非常奇葩的挑战，就是他找到的第一个流量密码，播放量、粉丝数都持续上涨，也给他带来了商业合作。当时有一个甲方哈，本来想给他5000美元，想做一段插入的广告，但是 Jimmy 就说了，你要是能给我10000美元，我就把这些钱一分不剩全送给一个流浪汉，然后出一段视频，保证炸。
It's about $10,000.
No man, are you serious?
可想而知，他这种非常大胆的行为，加上流浪汉的真情流露，让这段视频迅速出圈，也让 Mr. Beast 形成了一个他非常经典的视频模式，就是撒币。
Well, people like seeing me help other people.I can just help people and use the money that generates to help more people. And it kind of just started that cycle. That's kind of like, in a simple way, what I've been doing the last 10 years.
还有给外卖小哥送钱，给 Uber 司机送钱，给服务员送钱。随着播放量的飙升，他送出去的钱数也从1万涨到2万、3万、5万、10万，甚至一辆兰博基尼。
Is there a logic? Like, I mean, does it make a difference if you give away 500K versus a million?
Yeah. You definitely are a finance channel. Your banking background's showing. No, that's a good question. What's fascinating for us is the more money I give away, the more comments I get about how it's fake. So, like, if I give a random person on the street 100 grand, people can kind of believe that's real. But if I give a random person on the street $1 million, it's so much obscene amount of money that people just don't even think it's real. So I actually can't give away too much money because now people just don't think the videos are real anymore. They don't believe that creators in my position make this kind of money. So it has to be fake. So that's one variable. The other variable is for most people, anything over $100,000 in terms of clickability, in terms of people going, oh my gosh, this is crazy. It doesn't really change. So whether you give someone on the street or, you know, give a contestant 200 grand or 100 grand, it makes no difference. So that's something I've noticed a lot. So in your guys' currency, what would that be? That's like
times seven.
Yeah, $700,000. It's like a delicate balance because you don't want to give away too much where people think it's fake. There seems to be a threshold where above this threshold, money just loses its meaning, and it's like that. But then I also want it to be enough money where, like, if a contestant wins, it materially changes their life. I just kind of, like, weigh all those factors.
Wow, there is logic behind this.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't just go, random number.
What was the video that you spent the most? You remember? Or maybe the hardest
one.
I
can think of it. What do you think I did when we hit 100 million subscribers?
You plant trees.
That was 20 million. When we hit 100 million, I went out and I bought a massive private island.
You bought the island?
Yeah, I bought the island and I gave the island to one of my subscribers.
Wow, that's crazy.
Exactly. So we grabbed 100 subscribers to celebrate 100 million, put them on a private island. Lastly, the island got to keep it.
当然了，他这视频也不光是送钱，各种脑洞大开的挑战让他的频道开始爆发式的增长。 17年达到了100万订阅， 18年达到了1000万， 21年5000万，22年1个亿。 到现在 MrBeast节目已经变成了一个超大型的真人秀， 进行一些可能从来都没有人进行过的挑战。 你比如说这期视频， 他就实景搭建了一个鱿鱼游戏的场地， 然后让456个人来参加比赛， 最后的赢家会得到接近50万美元的奖金。 你再比如说他体验$1,000,000到$1,000,000的酒店， 让100个人比赛， 看谁能熬到最后一个走出一个圈， 还帮助1000个盲人复明等等。
I really do want to come to China and film something there. If you got any cool ideas,
Welcome.
We could do there.
Yeah.
Guys, comment down below what we should do in China. Something I've really been enjoying is we filmed a video at the pyramids. We just filmed a video at ancient temples in Mexico. And so I don't know if there's any ancient ruins in China. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, yes.
The country's
of course.
Very old.
I just need to get the permission.
Yeah. Whoever has permission, let me know. I would love to do 100 hours in whatever beautiful ancient ruins you guys have. But yeah, honestly, that like being around all you guys has really made me want to go to China.
这些视频的共性呢，一方面是脑洞大开的想法，快节奏的剪辑，还有很重要的一点哈，我相信你应该能感受出来，就每段视频都是那种超高成本的制作。这个其实正是他的一个理念，就是把每段视频赚的钱几乎全部都投到接下来的视频的制作里去。
My YouTube channel last year lost a ton of money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it does not make money. I mean, we're pouring millions of dollars into every video. Like, we spend probably $2.5 million on average per video. Plus, that's not including like the employee costs and everything like that. So I do 2 videos a month. If you were in factor in employees and everything, it'd probably be $4.5-5 million a video.
Do you evaluate those ROI or?
Well, the big thing is my goal is to make the best content possible. If you focus on videos, making videos people love instead of trying to make money, then people will keep coming back because they can feel that passion for making good videos. Ultimately, where we will make money in the future is obviously things like Feastables and other businesses like that, not the ad revenue directly on the videos.
这就是他的一个摄影棚，每次他们一个视频就会在这儿布景，基本上每段视频都是拆了建，建了拆，每个角落都有不同的布景，准备不同的视频，你看跟个仓库似的，他差不多有4000平，然后他们还在后面建了一个更大的，差不多有8000平，那边有一帮人特别有意思，他们就整天在那数钱。 因为Mr.Beast很多视频要给别人很多钱，就那种一大袋一大袋的钱，所以就有专门有几个人每天的工作就是在那数钱，感觉跟分赃似的。你看这儿就是他给一个挑战搭的景，这里边有一个人，他有1年的时间要在这儿减掉100磅，但前提是他不能踏出这个红圈，就跟孙悟空画了个圈一样。如果他能完成，就将得到30万美元的奖励。但他一旦踏出这个圈，你看全是相机盯着他呢，钱就没了。然后你看那边。 那跟笼子似的，也是他们搭的一个场景，是个监狱。他们就找了一个真正的罪犯和一个真正的警察把他关一起，关一百天，看会发生什么。你发现他们有个技巧哈，就是把这个关起来，然后关的足够长，哎，这个喜剧效果就出来了。他呢，确实是非常敢花钱，但很多人可能就单纯的理解成他的视频火就纯粹是因为他撒钱花钱给钱送钱来博取眼球赚流量。但是你想哈，你要能达到每期视频都有上亿人观看，那肯定不是说简单撒钱就能做到的。他确实需要非常强的专业性和对观众的理解。
Well, I like data a lot. We track all the top performing videos on YouTube and really just study what does well. Because what's interesting about the YouTube algorithm is it really is a good reflection of what people want to watch. Videos don't just get 10 million views because you're lucky. A video gets 10 million views because a lot of people clicked on it and watched it for a very long percentage. Yep. These videos are a reflection of the kind of content people want. And so you derive a lot of knowledge from just studying all the highest performing videos. And so my whole life, I've just always watched every week, you know, the top 100 most viewed videos and like studied why they did well. And you do that after enough years, you start to notice a lot of patterns and commonalities between it. What a lot of people say is when they upload a video and it does bad, they go, the algorithm didn't promote it. The algorithm didn't like this video. And like the correct thing to say is like the audience didn't like this video. The audience didn't you know, watch it so it didn't get pushed. And like when you really take an audience first mindset, you just focus on making content the audience enjoys.
他尤其非常看重的是什么？就是一段视频的数据的量化分析。这里边最重要的一个指标，你知道是什么？不是播放量，不是点击率，而是留存率。
So on YouTube, you have a retention chart where you can see the exact second everyone clicks off. Anytime there's even a slight dip, why did they click off? That's really at the end of the day all that matters, right? Like if there's dips in retention, that means people got bored. They didn't want to watch it. Ideally, whoever's watching this video finishes the entire video.Right? That's what you want. You don't want people to click off, you know?
他每段视频播完之后呢，就会把自己的视频内容夸夸夸夸夸切成好多小段落，就看大家在哪儿不感兴趣了，再去找可能的原因。这样呢，逐渐形成了自己一套比较成熟的模式，快节奏的剪辑，鲜艳的画面，紧凑的音效，还有不断设置的新的悬疑点等等。你就感觉他的视频比一般的那种综艺节奏要快得多，砰砰砰砰砰，一个点接着一个点，让人生理性的不自觉的就看下去了。当然了，随着他名气越来越大，各种争议和负面的声音也越来越多。有人会质疑他的很多内容可能就是无意义的撒钱作秀，各种挑战可能会有一些危险或者扭曲未成年人的价值观等等。但他自己呢，主要还是看数据、看留存，只要大多数人喜欢，那我就优化，我就去做。除了主账号以外 ，Mr. Beast 还陆续开启了一些子账号，主攻不同的内容方向。
Our second channel is a gaming channel. It's one of the largest gaming channels on YouTube.We have a React channel, a charity channel where we just do a lot of philanthropy and help people in need all over the world. And then outside of YouTube, we also have the second most followed TikTok account in the world, 60 million on Instagram. Just, I make a lot of content on the internet.
这些账号呢，粉丝数虽然跟主账号没法比，但很多也都达到了千万这个级别，逐渐就形成了一个围绕着 Mr. Beast 的账号矩阵。在他已经做到全球最大的 YouTuber 视频业务横扫天下之后呢 Jimmy 也开始逐渐的涉足商业创建了自己的品牌这里头最成功的就是 Feastable 卖巧克力的我跟你说挺逗的哈那天我们吃完晚饭 Jimmy 突然心血来潮就带着我们一帮中文博主去当地的一个沃尔玛看他那个巧克力当时我们也在那儿拍然后我们还有摄像团队然后那些围观的群众也在那儿拍我们乌泱乌泱一大片人在沃尔玛里头举着设备在那儿溜达反正还挺逗的 Jimmy 他的主账号的投入和开销是非常大的据他自己说哈如果光靠主账号本身的收入其实都养不活自己所以这个巧克力的大获成功也成了他视频帝国一个非常大的经济支柱
At which point you wanted to start maybe Feasibles or other businesses besides the videos?
Probably 4 years ago
four
is when
years
we started
ago?
Yeah, because the videos were getting so big and like I told you they kept losing so much money and I needed to make money from somewhere
So
with Feastables I really fell in love with trying to ethically source the cacao and improve thatYou know, you don't have to unethically source chocolate.
So how does the revenue look like? How much percentage does it make up for the entire Mr. Beast?
We will do more in chocolate revenue this year than we will off of, you know, the YouTube channel. And Yeah, the Billy Billy channel, all of it.
You mean the YouTube channel, you mean the AdSense?
Yeah, the AdSense, the brand. If you took all the AdSense on the YouTube channel and revenue off brand deals, all of it, like it's way less than Feastables.
That's interesting. Is there a percentage you can give us in terms of how much AdSense, how much the...brand deals
yeah Feastables is probably dirty math probably 40% AdSense would probably be 10% yeah and then brand deals probably another 15% and then we actually sell a lot of toys and then we have view stats and we have Lunchly and other stuff
但你有没有想过哈？你说他就这么一个人，要管这么多账号，哪有时间去搞商业呢？当然，一方面他确实是个远近闻名的工作狂，一睁眼就开始工作。但这还不够，他还培养出来了一个秘密武器——杀手锏。
As your team grow, you definitely need to give out some, I mean, control over the content.
Yeah.
How do you feel comfortable giving away those controls?
It's a great question. So, in my case, I wasn't very comfortable with it because Obviously, this is my baby. I live and breathe this content. So I basically found one of the most driven people I knew. And I said, live with me. I'm going to teach you everything I know.
Live with you.
Yeah, literally.
24/7?
Yeah, he lived with me for 2 years. I was like, I'm going to teach you everything I know. You're going to be at my hip. You're going to listen to every talk I do. And then over time, I'm just going to hand responsibility off to him.
Okay.
So his name was Tyler. And so that was one of the first people I really handed things off to was Tyler. We worked together like hand in hand for like 4 years straight.
4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's been working here now for like, he's probably coming up on 7 years. It was just like, I invested a lot into this person with the goal of him eventually replacing me in terms of writing the videos. And it worked. You could pitch something to Tyler. You could pitch something to me. And like 99% of the time, he would say the exact same thing I would do. I almost call it, I mean, this is weird. And most people, when I say this, are like, whoa, that's kind of a crazy sentence. But it's almost like cloning yourself. You just spend an absurd amount of time with someone doing the job you want that person to do until they literally think like you?
From maybe solo, like a teenager in your bedroom, yeah. to managing 400 employees.
Yeah.
What's the hiring process like? How did you scale those up?
Oh, okay. You want to get in the nitty gritty. Well, truthfully, I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a father who had like experience and stuff. So for me, from going to teenager to, you know, young 20s trying to hire and scale business, I just messed up a ton. Part of why we do so well is we do things unconventionally. Part of getting 200 million views of video is you do things that have never been done before. And when you do something that's never been done before, there's usually a reason why it's never been done before.
Yeah.
It's hard. it's not easy, blah, blah, yeah. blah. And so when I first started scaling up, I brought in a lot of people who worked in traditional media and like Hollywood and that kind of stuff. They just like wanted to systematize everything. And they didn't really understand like YouTube. And they tried to bring Hollywood over to YouTube, but that, it doesn't work that way. You know, there's a reason why people are shifting to watching YouTube away from that kind of stuff. So I would hire a bunch of people, realize they're not the right people, have to let them go, which always would break my heart. I had to do that a couple of times throughout my early 20s until I really figured out the kind of people I want. But it just took me many years to figure out like what it is I'm looking for.
What yeah. are the personality and the traits you are talking about? Can you maybe name a few?
Yeah, so coachability is a big one for us because the difficulty of the job is always going up. And if like you're not coachable and learning, this is your skill set over time, but this is the difficulty of your job. Eventually, the job will outgrow you. Like ideally, people grow with the job and learn. So we want people very coachable, very, very obsessive. Like ideally, whatever role you're doing in my companies, even if you weren't getting paid, you would still do that in your free time. Like that's how you know someone's very obsessed. And that's where you get value out of them even when they're not working, because like when they're not working, they're studying, you know, new cameras, they're studying things, not because they want to be a better employee, but because that's what they love. It's a little easier now that I'm the biggest YouTube channel in the world, but years ago, when you're coming on, it's kind of scary to bet your whole future on a YouTube channel. You know what I mean? It's like you really have to have strong conviction that like this is going to work out and like you believe in what we're doing. One of the worst things you can do is you invest years into an employee and then they quit, right? Because yeah. then you got to train a new employee. So I really want someone who sees it as a career, someone who's going to be here for a long time, very hardworking, very high agency. Like I hate having to tell people to do things. I want them to just do it because they know, right? Like there are obviously people who kind of just shy away and know how to kind of dodge responsibilities. And there's people who jump up. No excuses, people who take extreme accountability. If you're in charge of something and then you hire someone to like work on part of it, don't just delegate the task to them and then check in a week later. Check in every single day with the contractor and make sure they're hitting progress and blah, blah, blah. And they all kind of sum up to like extreme ownership, see the value in coachable. I would much rather have someone with a bunch of personality traits and hardworking skills and wants to be here for 10 years and train them than have someone who comes in the door with a lot of knowledge on holding a camera or writing a video or whatever, but doesn't have the personality traits we need. Because like 3 years from now, I can train that first person up and they'll be infinitely better than the person who came in with knowledge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
跟 Jamie 聊下来呢，我的感受哈，就真的他是非常的敢闯，非常敢拼。当然，他的做事风格真的非常的美式，就特别大开大合，可能不是大部分亚洲人的风格。但我觉得吧，即使是在现在这种大背景下，梦想还是可以有的。咱可以花点时间去思考思考，花点成本去尝试尝试，万一实现了呢，对吧？你说呢？
If you go back to maybe 10 years ago, anything you would do differently?
Yeah, I'd buy Bitcoin. If we film a video in China, comment down below if she should come stop by.
Don't put me next to a cheetah.
I'm going to put her in a circle with a cheetah.
Oh my goodness.
If this video gets 10 million likes. There you go. It's not going to get that many likes.
Okay.
If it does, then they really don't like you.